campers, while we're gathering around the campfire, we just want to let you know we are not what you would call experts. What we do have is a love for researching and discussing the lore of cryptids, creatures,
and an occasional spooky woman that can eat our soul.
So if you are in need of immediate help with the chupacabra in your yard, please consult someone else.
Also, this podcast isn't for kids. These campfire stories can contain graphic and explicit content that may not be suitable for young campers, so listener discretion is advised.
I forgot how the intro starts, so let me pull up that little thing. Hey, campers. My name is Kimmy, and I'm here with my co-host, Ryan.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the Alluring Podcast, where we tell you the history and stories of just all sorts of legends, lore, and other stuff from all over the world.
Woo, and my voice may be a little seasonal today.
The smoke was still off.
The worst was that one night I was talking to you, your friends on Discord.
Me and my friends were playing video games and Kimmy boops and it's like, hey guys, how's it going? It was rough.
I started by, hey, I sound really bad, but I have a port in Baldur's Gate question.
I sound really bad right now. You sound like you're dying. You should go to a hospital.
You guys ask so many questions. I'm like, I just need to know if I have a relationship with this person, if we'll mess up the shadow heart thing or not. Woo, all right. So I will do my best this episode, but if the sound quality of me isn't as crisp and delightful as normal, you now know why. Let's get into this, too. Ryan, what did you find alluring this week?
I'm going to let you go first, because I don't want to steal your thunder, and mine kind of goes off of yours.
Oh, okay. Wow, we're really switching it up. What did I put? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Christmas time is here, and I, as a true artsy soul, once it struck midnight on Halloween, I packed up all the Halloween decor and put up all my Christmas decor and cleaned the house. So because I was sick, so I didn't have a lot to do. And I was like, I can at least do like this in parts. And I turned to Edgar and I was like, how do you feel about me putting Christmas decorations up? He's like, it's only November. And I'm like, okay. And then I did it while he was working, and he came out of the office while working and went, Christmas! And I was like, I didn't even say anything. I just looked at him as I lit the tree. I was like,
it's begun. Yeah, it was pretty much at midnight on Halloween. My friends all got mad at me because I started playing that Chestnut song. And Mariah Carey. And they weren't too happy about it.
Oh, bah humbug. I remember I got in that chat and I was like, play those Christmas dudes. Everyone's like, no. I was like, nah. He has a backup now.
We can't. Yeah, people are haters.
Listen, just enjoy it.
Yeah. So going off yours, if you are really sad that the Halloween season's over, I have really good news. Christmas could basically be Halloween if you want it to be. You just wear your Krampus gear, right? still spooky, still holiday themed. There is more like Christmas horror slashers than I can count on my fingers and toes.
Ooh.
So really, Christmas is just Halloween too. Just a little more jolly, which is why I enjoy it. So yeah, don't let your Halloween dreams end just because it's Christmas season, you know? I want everyone to enjoy the holidays.
Can you do, like, on our Discord, on your video thing, can you do, like, some Christmas horror movies for people?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be, like, a fun little thing to post. I know we do so bad. Ryan has his podcast, but I just really steamroll with this one. So you should do that, though. I think that would be fun. That way people can still get those spooky vibes that are not quite ready. I've had a lot of people hating. They're like, you know, Thanksgiving's between Christmas and Halloween. And I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah, we can just kind of skip over Thanksgiving. I think that's fine. You know, besides like the turkey and family and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I enjoy Thanksgiving, but I feel like the things I have stuff to celebrate with are Halloween and Christmas. Like affording another holiday between in this economy is not something.
Thanksgiving is just a good time to get a day off of work and or school.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving is your last minute holiday shopping.
Uh-huh.
Eating
Black
with
Friday family. Is the real holiday.
The reason we go Black Friday shopping with our family is because we're at that breaking point with our family where we need to like just be chaotic is what I'm convinced. Everyone's like, why does Black Friday happen right after Thanksgiving? It's like, well, some family members you have Thanksgiving
with. You gotta blow off some steam after. So. You got to punch that old lady trying to beat you in anthropology to the decorations, you know? Like,
you got to punch her for that baby Jesus set, you know? That nativity set is yours this year, and Karen is not getting in the way of it.
Karen, more like catching these fists. That was bad. I tried.
I can't help you with this one. I can't. I don't know. We shouldn't be telling people to punch old ladies.
No. Don't.
Don't. Wink.
For our video listeners.
Wink.
Don't do it.
Ironically, for a nativity set.
Speaking of trampling old ladies, Kimmy, would you like to
ride over my reindeer?
Let's get into this week's episode. Yeah,
let's cue those sweet campfire sounds.
Ow.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, the enormous moose that has been the wonder of the sportsmen in North Maine since 1891 has again been seen. Every story that comes from the North Woods concerning this moose makes him a little bigger than before. Wilston, North Dakota Graphic, December 6th, 1900.
Whew. All right, folks. So, Maine is one of the many U.S. states known for its vast and rugged wilderness. It has a wide variety of wildlife and is known to bring hunters from all around the United States. And one of these types of animals includes the famous, majestic moose. But what if I told you there are legends of a more ghoulish giant moose? Though never captured, many hunters talk about the aloof moose spirit that, in hopes that one day they'll be able to capture proof of this mystically ghostly animal. Ooh. So this week, whoa!
My keys get messed up. It's all right.
Little tech issues here. No stress. this week, for all our video listeners, all of our audio listeners that had no idea what just happened. You know, being an indie podcast, we are always learning, and video with it can sometimes be a little fun challenge for us. But we're good now, and that means we're going to go right to our topic this week, which is the mystical specter moose. And for all of our lovely audio listeners, if you wish to see this with your eyeballs, this week's illustration, you can head over to our YouTube and look right over here, or you can head to our website, alloring.com, or you can head to our blog on our website and check it out. I drew it in a maple jar. It's just a ghostly spirit.
It's very cute.
Thank you. I didn't know how I was going to make a moose cute, so I'm glad it came out well. So this cryptid has been a part of American folklore since the end of the 18th century, and it wasn't until the 19th century that it became a major part of Maine's folklore, and it's still talked about today during the hunting season amongst locals, and it just comes and goes as it pleases. So this is one of a little bit more niche cryptids. I think that's the word for it. So it's going to be a delightfully kind of chaotic time as we desperately fill in time for show notes this week. So going to origins, what are the origins of the specter moose? Well, we have no idea how it came to be. I wasn't able to find any theories or connections this creature had to any ancient lore, and it seemed that this mystical moose just showed up one day, and that's it. That being said, we do have the first recorded legend of the Spectre Moose, which has really jump-started this ghostly urban legend. So, the first sighting takes place in 1891 in Maine. Clarence Duffy, a hunting guide in Old Town who was working near Lobster Lake when he noticed what appeared to be a moose. But this was no ordinary moose. It appeared extremely large in size and had a white, spirit-like presence to it. He was able to see it clearly but wasn't close enough to get a shot at the animal, and it ended up disappearing into the evergreens. This encounter shook Duffy to his core, and there's just something off about the moose. When he told the story to locals, they just laughed at him, dismissing it as nothing more than a moose, and even poking fun that it may have been a ghost. Mm-hmm. So,
I say that first sentence, a hunting guide in Old Town working near Lobster Lake, is like the most Northeast sentence I've ever heard in my entire life.
It sounds like the introduction for a little small town restaurant bio.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Clarence Duffy moved here in 1792 with nothing but the skin on his back. And it's like, you live in Old Town, not New Town.
Yeah.
Oh. What's in that lake over there? Is that a lobster? Yep, Lobster Lake.
That's what the restaurant is actually called, is Lobster Lake, and this is just the bio from it. I should turn off my sound. Oh, there we go. I know, technology is snitching on me. But this was only the start of the magical, mystical, moosey sightings. So a few months later, John Ross, a Bangalore lumberman, was at Lobster Lake. We got some good characters in here, folks.
Bangalore lobsterman.
Yeah. Lumberman at Lobster Lake.
Oh, lumberman at Lobster Lake. Goodness gracious.
What is the alliterations? We got a few of the names going on here. We got some DC comic energy. This is the more country version of Batman, you guys. Yeah. So while crossing between Big Lobster and Little Lobster with the
this foreman, is made up. Well, there's bigger lobsters in that lake, so that was Big Lobster and that's Little Lobster.
The Little Lobsters go there, so that must be Little Lobster Lake. Yeah.
So, man, are you okay?
You're like, maybe Kimmy was really sick when she was doing these notes. Yeah. Sounds like the NyQuil really speaking through her right now. So, with the foreman of W.L. Maxfield's camp, he saw the same moose Duffy described. It was extremely large, white in color, and felt like it had a slight spirit appearance to it. So, like, you know when you look at something and it has, like, that hazy glow around it? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what he was describing, but he said it weird, so that's how I'm describing it. He then told his story to the others in the area, and now people start to believe maybe there was something unexplainable in these lobstery lakey woods. So For years following these encounters, it seemed that the hunters would... The picture on the thing is just an inverted colored photo of a moose.
What are you talking about? That's the Spectre moose.
But it's the most popular photo when you Google Spectre moose. So here we are. So the years following these encounters, it seems that the hunters would talk about the legends of the moose and do what they could to hunt it down for themselves. Of course, it would be in vain, since it seemed that it always just disappeared right before people were able to get its hands on it. And it was just nothing more than an urban legend to locals. That was until 1899, where Gilman Brown of West Newbury, Massachusetts? Is that how you say it?
That is the state. Yeah.
Got close enough.
Massachusetts. There used to be a song called Massachusetts. It was like a meme song on the internet.
Really, man? You know, you gotta
send it to you after.
Thanks. Ryan's the reason I can make such gas memes for our episodes. He keeps me updated. It's like, you know how we send like our parents memes and tell them like inside jokes?
Yeah.
I am like the mom that Ryan sends the memes to, just so I'm always updated. So this man got close enough to the moose on the Roach River to describe the beast in great detail. So up until this point, it seemed everyone had only seen it at a great distance, but Gilman got close enough to count 22 points on the side of its antlers. So, if you were like me and have zero knowledge about moose, usually moose antlers rarely have no more than 8 to 12 points on a side. So, we got a big boy coming in. And Brown also fired 5 shots at the large animal, which simply, he just growled, and then he just went, "Urk," and then, like, walked away majestically and disappeared. Yeah. Brown later said that he felt like he had seen a ghost. Mm-hmm. So, this story then gained national attention as it made its way into the New York Times during November of 1899.
Slow News Week.
Yeah, you know, they really got to fill in the columns.
Yeah, there wasn't much happening in 1899.
I can't speak. After, like, my whole war confusion last episode, I really can't say.
Was Vietnam in 1899? I can't, like...
Just one of the most important wars in American history. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, public education has failed so many of us. So, this reported encounter led to more people coming forward about their own experiences for the next decade. Many people reported their first-hand encounters with this creature throughout the East Coast of the United States, specifically different parts of Maine. So after this, it seemed like the Spectre moose sightings would die down for a century and then pick back up the next. So it was much like that one ex that you always, like, will forget about, but they'll find their way back in your life the next Mercury retrograde. This is what that moose was doing. It was coming back to the DMs, like, "Hey, girl, miss you," and then ghosting you for a few months, you know?
You up?
Yeah. And it's always after you send a long message, like, "I don't want to deal with you or this anymore."
Yeah.
And it's red, and then 3 weeks later...
It's crazy, girl.
What's up? That's crazy. No, don't kill yourself. That will always be my favorite one. Don't croak yourself.
Jesus Christ.
So the moose seemed to reappear once people started to move on with their lives. Much like the messages.
Yep.
This pattern of it disappearing and reappearing would continue all the way into the early 20th century, when the legends of the moose would finally be put to rest yet again. So, to this day, it seemed that the only oral legends of what used to roam near Lobster Lake are what's left of the mystical moose. Some speculate that it's just a large moose that either died of old age, migrated to Canada, or was even just a tall tale told amongst workers in the area, you know, to keep things, like, lively. However, many locals believe that the Spectre Moose is still out there where few people venture, and its spirit continues to watch over other moose in the area to this very day. It's one of these more abstract stories, so it was kind of hard to figure out origins between all the encounters. But we're going to shift now to the word meaning. So this magical moose got a few different nicknames, which means I got a handy-dandy little list for y'all. Do you want to start and we can popcorn it?
Sure. The Spectre Moose of Maine.
We got the Ghost Moose.
The Spectral Moose of Maine.
We got
to be confused with the Spectre Moose of Maine. This one's Spectral Moose of Maine.
Troll.
Spectral.
And then we just have Spectre Moose, not to be confused with the Spectre Moose of Maine.
No, just the Spectre Moose. And then we have Spirit Moose.
And then my personal favorite is locals refer to him as Old Moxie. Old Moxie. Ah, you go see that spirit, Old Moxie, hanging out in the evergreens? Now we know the origins. We know its themes. I'm going to hand it over to Ryan, and I didn't change that part of the show notes, but he's going to tell us about Spectre Mooses.
So everyone sitting there listening is probably thinking, man, the Spectre Moose is the most famous cryptid in the United States. There's probably so many stories and everything about these guys. You're wrong. There's not. But we did our best, so we're just going to do some sightings.
Well, here's the thing. There are a ton of them, but they're only, like, two-sentence encounters.
So it's just I was like, yeah, I saw a moose.
I was out with my wife, Jenny, biking down the street, and we saw this magical moose just walk across us. Like,
a mid-sized lobster lake, and I saw a moose.
I was a very lobster lake looking for some ludicrous stories.
you take a left at large lobster lake, a right at small lobster, you find your
lobster lake.
A little lobster lake, and then bam, there's a moose. Anyway, 1892 is our first sighting. Here's Lobster Lake, if you were wondering. That's that. So
looks
the first one
like
takes
a lobster for all of you wondering. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I don't see it.
I'll do a little TikTok.
I feel like Maine just has lobsters, so I think they're like, yeah, Lobster Lake.
Oh no, that's kind of like the little leggies and the
maybe. That's a stretch.
It's like what a lobster looks like.
Okay.
Red Lobster.
Yeah, if you turn your head sideways and squint really hard, then it kind of looks like a lobster. So 1892, a New York City sportsman by the name of Howard Van Ness was hunting with three others about 30 miles northeast of Norcross near Sodahuck Lake. See, that's a cool lake name. While searching for the next big catch, Howard saw what appeared to be a giant moose. Without hesitation, he fired several slugs, but was surprised to see that they had no effect and simply bounced off the moose's skin. This moose then turned towards Howard and, clearly upset because he was just shot, began to charge at him, and that's when he noticed this was no normal moose. It appeared to weigh a ton, was as tall as a camel, and had a magnificent head and antlers. And now it was coming straight at him. For those who don't know, moose are huge. So if this is like a giant moose, like that's pretty scary. Like a moose will take you out.
This is no like cute little puppy in the distance. You're like, aw, you know, like you're going to get bulldozed, my friend.
So separate from the group, Howard acted quickly and shot the animal just above the shoulder. The moose then let out a loud grunt before charging at him again. Then Howard quickly took shelter beneath a tangled mass of fallen tree and branches as he tried to catch his breath. His heart pounded in his chest as he watched the moose circle around the area at tremendous speed, cracking branches and leaves around him, and then jumped over the hiding spot he resided in before finally giving up and disappearing back into the forest. Yikes.
Nope.
Mm. So maybe don't shoot at giant spectral glowing animals. That's just a small word of advice from your fellow hunters.
We'll talk about more, but I don't know why people see this mystical, unexplainable being, and they're like, I want it as a prize. Like, no.
USA.
No. It is very American. Very American.
Oh, so, fast forward a little bit. 1906, and a man by the name of George Neeland was enjoying a nice bike ride around town between Sherman and Maquiloc in Maine when he noticed something he wouldn't soon forget. After walking his bike up a hill, George was about to mount it and ride down the hill when he noticed what appeared to be a horse standing in the road some distance ahead. He thought, that's a bit strange, and wondered what it could be doing. Squinting his eyes at the horse, he soon realized it was actually a large white moose, and there seemed to be something eerie about it.
So, super quick antidote. Because this is just a short episode, when I read that, I immediately thought of the horse from Adventure Time, but, like, white and glowing. You're taking off the gloves, like, one at a time. So...
Hello, George.
So everyone can have that image in their head now as the story continues.
So before George could figure out what was so different about this creature, the large mysterious moose locked eyes with George and then lowered its head and began to tear down the road towards him. Nope. The moose antler stretched across the road and tore at the brush and branches on both sides of the road as it quickly made its way up the hill towards George. George ditched his bike and climbed up a tree next to it. The mysterious moose went straight for the bike, and once upon it, the creature planted both of its forward legs on either side and began to sniff. I thought it was going to say it started riding it. Sniff and examine it. The moose then raised its head and gave off a tremendous snort as it raced back into the woods, tearing down more trees in its path and quickly vanishing into a puff of smoke.
Sometimes Ryan thinks I'm doing my smutty writing in our show notes. And it's like, is this...
He mounted the bike and began vigorously... Never mind. Stop. Pedaling. He began vigorously pedaling, Kimmy.
You can tell. Listen, I have my keywords I can write with.
And he stroked his antlers along.
Stop.
The tree. Once again, get your head out of the gutters.
God damn it.
George was shook, obviously, and ended up waiting in the tree for about 10 minutes before he climbed down the tree and quickly biked back home. Good call, Georgie boy.
Smart move. It got a little spicy for a second, but, you know, we got back. He climbed down that tree. And then Oh, man. Okay. Oh,
there we go.
All right.
So, is this still me? Yep, still me. Okay, so next we have a mystical herd. The next sighting took place in the mid-1930s around the Chesaunook region along the west branch of the Penobscot River, something like that. Yeah. And a man by the name of Houston was out hunting for a moose when he noticed what appeared to be a herd of about 16 of them. Being a good distance away, he took a moment to observe them and noticed there were three males watching over the other female moose grazing. What was strange is how one of the three male moose seemed to be about three times larger than them. The third moose hovered above the herd and glowed in white, luminous color. Houston couldn't believe his eyes when he turned his back to pick up his weapon and turned back around. It seemed that the third mystical moose had vanished without a trace.
A lot of the signs we don't get into because they're just like a sentence or two.
Yeah.
Are all involving people immediately grabbing guns.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hunters out in Maine.
Yeah, it's either grabbing guns or something involving a bike ride. It's like That's literally
all there is to do in Maine is ride, bike, and hunt. So
yeah, I was trying to see if they had like a fun little event they do or something like around this, because I'm like, capitalism, you know, it's got to do something. And I was really surprised I didn't see any. I was like, you guys don't have anything to do, and you won't even throw a little moosey.
Maine, event. You're really missing out on the mystical moose yearly festival.
I would sell so much maple syrup as a venue person there. I don't know why. It just feels right.
But much like our moose vanishing, we're about to vanish real quick into these commercial breaks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Creating a website without the right tools and support is a lot like dealing with a group of wild jackalopes. At first, it doesn't seem too intimidating, but once you start, it becomes very overwhelming and you'll feel utterly defeated. But don't worry, because Bluehost knows its way around the wild, wild web and is here to help you on your website building journey. Bluehost has everything your website needs from startup to success, and they are there to help you every step of the way. Simply name your website, select a design template, and start building with the right hosting plan. Bluehost provides tons of ways to design your website, along with marketing tools, insightful analytics, and scalable growth. Y'all, I absolutely adore Bluehost because I was able to quickly design a website without having to mess around with a single line of code. Plus, they have hundreds of free and premium website themes to pick from, so it's easy to find one that suits your style and to create your very own website. And on top of all that, they have low monthly rates and a one-click WordPress installation with 24/7 support. With all their tools and support, you can just sit back, relax, and listen to the wild jackalopes whistle some jolly old Western tunes as you easily build a website that can hold its own on the wild, wild web. Plus, our listeners who sign up get a free domain name for the first year. So what are you waiting for? Join Bluehost today by going to our website, alluring.com/sponsors, and clicking on our Bluehost banner. Again, go to our website, alluring.com/sponsors, and click on the Bluehost banner to start your website today.
Welcome back, campers. We hope you enjoyed that little break. Kimmy's having a bit of a coughing fit, so guess who gets to reintroduce the show and say welcome back? That's right, it's me. Now, Kimmy's going to tell us about the appearance and history of the Spectre Moose.
Thank you so much. I feel so much better, you guys. It's just the cough is just really holding on like an ex does through Mercury retrograde, you know?
About to make the same joke
twice.
This is a repetitive joke podcast. Thank you everybody for coming.
It's called bringing it back, circling back.
It's a callback. It's a callback.
Speaking of it, no.
It's been kind of like when your ex visits you.
I saw you back during Mercury retrograde, you know? It's a callback.
Full circle. We did it.
Oh, man. So, appearance-wise, this
cryptid... Then vanish like the news.
That's the story we're doing. It's a callback, you know? It's the shadow period, everybody. You got real watch out for it.
Anyway, let's talk about a moose.
For all our audio listeners, I made a little image to show a comparison chart of a person to a moose to the Spectre Moose. And I'll get into details, but that's what this image is of. So you guys can, everyone watching has a really good idea of how giant this being is. So appearance-wise, it looks just like a giant moose. It's either completely white or has like a light gray color and gives off a faint white glow. It's believed to stand at 10 to 15 feet tall, weigh nearly 2,500 pounds, and have a set of antlers that stretches out about 10 to 12 feet long. So his hoof prints measure to be about 10 inches wide, and his antlers have 22 points on one side when the average moose, like said earlier, is like 8 to 12. So now, if you were like...
I have a question. Would you rather fight one giant moose-sized duck or 100 duck-sized mooses.
Wait. One moose-sized duck.
Spencer moose-sized duck.
Okay.
Or, what did I say, 100? Also, we'll go with 50 duck-sized Spectre mooses.
Oh, man, that will be the question I put on our little Spotify poll this week. You know, I feel I can handle the one duck. I'm a big boy it. I want an anime protagonist big boy it. Mm-mm. No.
A 15-foot tall duck, Kimmy? That's a T-Rex. That thing's going to eat you in one bite.
No, it's a quack job. He's so disappointed. I haven't seen Ryan disappointed in a pun in a few months. That was actually quite... That added like a few years to my life. Thank you. So, I know he's looking for a sound for it, but I'm just going to keep going.
No. So I would personally fight 50 duck-sized mooses because I feel like you can just sweep the legs.
Mooses are big, though.
Yeah, but they're duck-sized mooses.
Oh, they're duck. That's the
question.
Oh.
50 duck-sized mooses or one moose-sized duck?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna stick with my original answer. You know, I'm not gonna.
That's crazy.
I can do it.
It's a 2,500-pound duck.
If I just have, like, some sourdough on me, I really feel like I could go far with that battle.
Go get it.
So now, if you are like me, and I have no idea what the size is in comparison to the average male moose, no stress, because I got that info for you all as well. The average male moose in Maine weighs about 800 to 900 pounds, is about 6 feet tall, and has antler span of 4 to 6 feet. And the bell, which is like the penis ball thing that like hangs from its from underjaw, its that's like what I think, what it reminds me of. That's no less than like 18 inches long. So this is huge compared to a moose that is already big. So if I did the math right, old Moxie is double to triple the size of a normal moose. I also want to point out that, again, mooses aren't small. Like, if you're in a ring with an angry moose, you're not going to make it out, Chief. Like, it's not. It's like a hippo. I feel people really underestimate hippos. Mm-hmm. And you're done. Like, you're not winning that battle. It's not worth it. I think I just explained all of that. It's just in gray for some reason. So that's what we got appearance wise. And now we're going to shift over to its behavior. So it honestly just seems like a gentle moose spirit. It rarely goes after people. And on the off chance it does, there has been no reports of it actually harming the person it goes after. He just like shows up and he's like, square up, and then he disappears is the energy of the Spectre moose.
Well, here's the thing, the only reports are the people who survived.
Yeah, well,
we don't have reports from those who they're like, oh, another moose attack.
Hey, you know, I believe old Moxie is a good soul. Plus, if people are shooting at you all the time,
yeah, no, it's defense,
and you're not mauling people all the time. I feel like, yeah,
maybe start.
If America has taught us anything, it's always be on the attack. Ask questions later. So, on top of being a chill forest spirit, old Moxie has some tricks up his sleeve that help him with living his best aloof spirit life. Do you want a popcorn? Sure. As well? You can start.
Can disappear in the blink of an eye.
Has an extreme acute sense of smell and hearing, so you can't sneak up on this big boy.
Can phase through solid objects. Many sightings have described seeing him phase through trees, people, and even other moose before disappearing altogether.
And it cannot be killed. Many hunters struggle to get close enough to shoot this creature, and on the off chance they are able to, the moose will just stare at them unharmed and disappear. So it reminds me when, like, in the old, like, 90s movies, when you would, like, shoot at a vampire and they turn into a puff of smoke and, like, go away. Like, that's what I think about it. Ooh, okay, so now on to some fun moose facts to really fill in this episode for us. Speaking of not being able to be killed, many speculate whether this giant moose is a cryptid or a forest spirit, but there is one theory that it is actually a zombie. Ooh. So one encounter tells of how a group of hunters near Moolunkus Stream in east central Maine was actually able to hunt down the famous specter moose and kill it. So after shooting it dead, like common practice, they slit its throat and hung it from a tree overnight so they could skin and dress it the next day. Like, that's how you have everything get drained from it. However, things did not go as planned, and the next day they awoke to a surprise to see the moose had vanished. Puzzled about what could have happened to this creature, they were more surprised later that night when giant mystical moose had strolled back into their camp with its throat still cut open. The hunters, terrified as they should be, shot it dead again with their rifles. But the moose seemed unfazed by all of this and calmly got up and walked off into the dark forest, only to be later seen in Ashland, Maine by Bert's Peggins. So, terrified, Peggins shot at the moose with no effect and then dropped his rifle and ran into the house. From inside the home, he peeked out the window and watched as this mystic moose picked up the rifle with its teeth, fired it, and then disappeared back into the forest. Yes. So it became the horse from the deer from Adventure Time, pulled off its hoof gloves, loaded the rifle, took a shot, and said, "Try again," and then left it to the forest. Since this moose seems impossible to kill, the idea of it being zombie seems to be just as much as a popular theory as it being a cryptid or a ghost. And this would also explain why it hasn't been able to be captured. A lot of cryptid people tend to dismiss their theory of it being undead since it doesn't go chomping or attacking human flesh kind of thing. But moose are herbivores, so maybe they just get more of an intense craving for, like, good old leaves and twigs and stuff, you know? Like, we don't know zombies' diets. You know, we don't know how that goes. Yeah. We know Hollywood's perception of zombie diets, but that's all we got. All right, so now, there was a whole lot of fun facts surrounding the lore of old Muxie. So to fill this episode up, I'm going to tell you all about moose hunting. Because I'm the person you should come to for moose hunting advice.
I've always said it.
I dated a few hunters and went hunting in high school. I may have just drawn the whole time and made bird whistle sounds, but, you know, I was there. So I clearly know what I'm doing. The thing about the specter moose is, though many have seen it, none have been able to capture it. Hunters throughout North Maine will always bring up the legend of the famous white giant and how if someone's able to bring it home, they would be like the ultimate hunter. Mm-hmm. Like that is the prize. That is like the Charizard of Pokemon cards. You know what I mean? That's your life goal, you know? Yeah. So that being said, I want to take a moment to tell you all about the Maine moose hunting culture. So, Maine's moose population is the largest of all the lower 48 states, estimated at 60 to 70,000 animals. This presents an incredible hunting opportunity for those who are lucky enough to win a Maine moose permit. So, moose hunting in Maine is a must for hunters with an average of 50,000 applications, only 2,000 to 3,000 of them are typically issued. So that's like 2-4% of everyone that applies makes it through, which is wild to me. This is like some Yale in the early 2000s, like college acceptance numbers. You know what I mean? So a Maine moose hunt is considered a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and if someone is lucky enough to receive a permit to hunt one of Maine's largest mammals, there is no guarantee for a successful hunt. The hunting season only takes place during certain weeks in September, October, and November. One's permit will assign someone to a specific region, will give them a specific date range, and the type of moose they are allowed to hunt. They are only allowed to hunt this type of moose on their permit, and they aren't allowed to hunt in any other area. There's also tons of planning, scouting, gear, and hard work needed to track down these animals. So, that being said, we have a few campers that listen to our show that I just know they want to go moose hunting. They want to get this prize. But we both know you don't have that skill set. And that's okay. That's okay, because we can dream big here. So we're going to give you some tips when looking for moose. Some just general good tips. Again, if you want to hunt, do your research, folks, because we should not be your main source for
hunting. Please, God. Take a hunter safety course. Don't just go.
Take a hunter safety course. I beg of you. Please. So I'll start by most sightings of this creature happen near Lobster Lake in Maine. So the best bet would be to camp out there during the months of September through November for a chance to see the creature.
Large lobster or small lobster?
It just said Lobster Lake. If you're not sure, like maybe you're into big lobsters, or maybe size doesn't matter and you like small lobsters, or maybe you're a very like grith person, so you can stay in the middle of the two and just kind of like try both out, you know?
Metaphor in there somewhere.
Why not both? I'm not going to say what I was going to say. That would be a little too much, but we all get. You can try both at the same time. The Spectre Moose seems to only attack when provoked. Be cautious, as seeing it from a distance will always be your best bet. Do not throw stuff at it. If you have a dog, keep it at bay. Moose hate dogs, not just because they're dog racist, but because they don't like to have things run and bark at them. And as a woman, I understand that's not
used to wolves, you know.
It's just, it's like a more annoying version of a wolf.
They don't know the difference between your shitty chihuahua and a wolf.
That's what it is to them. It's like a chihuahua coming to barking.
Small wolf, yeah.
They're like, ugh, it's always so gross. So the next is, feeding a moose makes them more dangerous. So don't try to trap them with snacks. Don't give them snacks. Don't feed the moose. And then the final tip is, run away. It will, I really put a lot of emphasis when throwing my pen then. That's my fidget thing for today. Run away. It will chase you. But not if you run far enough away, because it gets to a point where it realizes you're not worth the effort.
Yeah, it's tired.
So take some track classes, I guess. Like, maybe that would be helpful.
You just have to be faster than your slowest friend.
That is fair. Or you have to be a slow friend with a really good shot to knock out a person to get behind you, you know?
Yeah, invest in a slingshot.
You need one of the two skill sets.
Yeah.
So if you don't get away fast enough, it will knock you down. If it does, do not struggle. Let it happen. Curl into a fetal position and cover your head with your arms. Trying to move or beat it off will only cause it to continue to kick and stomp you. If you just, like, go ball mode, it's like, you're not a threat. And it, like, just struts off kind of thing.
See, the thing about me is I'm fighting that moose. I'm going down either way, you know?
You're like, if I die, and they're like, how did you get here, Ryan? You're like, I fought a moose. I
uppercutted a moose in its chin ball sack.
I just thought thought of the old timey meme of the dude with the mustache and the gloves, like uppercutting. So again, please, if you are hunting animals, please take your hunter safety courses and get your permits. Yeah. But if you're just looking for a spectre moose, just keep your distance and enjoy the beauties of nature.
Yeah.
Is all we can say. All right. Now, it's time for science or the church.
Before we go into this, for our video listeners, Kimmy labeled this slide sexy moose. I just want everyone to be aware of that. Anyway.
I want to put the filter on it that's like shiny and it's like, I can feel it, you know, like, yeah. It like zooms in. Da, 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 da. All right. Ryan, I've given you nothing this week, so you got a good 50-50.
I feel like it's got to be science because, I mean, I'm sure the church is present in Maine, but, I mean, it's Maine. Like, I think Pope's too worried about Lobster Lake in Maine.
Every Sunday after Mass, the popes just circle around Lobster Lake.
Yeah. Has anybody found the moose? The devil, I tell you.
That's where all the tithing money goes to. It's to fund their little boat trips around the lake. They're like, today's the day we capture old Moxie. We bring him forth upon the Lord.
Yeah. Smite thee, devil.
Smite thee, devil. Oh, man. And then the moose just watch from the sidelines in the trailer. They're like, oh, they're doing it again, Frank.
What the fuck's he doing over there?
Every Sunday at 5:30, right before dinner. Yeah, they're always doing
morning
this.
Mass.
They got two if they're priests. They gotta have the morning afternoon. So you're right though. Give yourself your little clap. It's science. There you go. So there are two possible scientific theories as to what this ghostly moose actually is. So the most plausible, which is the sexy moose photo we have presented for you all, is that it's nothing more than an albino moose. Huh. So though extremely rare, most have been sighted in areas of Ontario, Canada, aka the White Moose Forest. So, though rare, it seems that the Spectre Moose hotspot could be nothing more than some albino moose. Now, I do want to point out albino moose have more of a pink hue to their eye, and the Spectre Moose has been described to have a brown eye. And there's that.
That's why you chose this photo.
I knew you were going to make a pink eye joke. I was just really trying to go right past it, but you really had to have it stick with the ass right there. Albino moose, though, are normally the size of the average male moose. So that doesn't explain the dramatic size difference.
Yeah.
But or the pink eye, but it's probably just a butt joke because we're in between Lobster Lake and Large Lobster and Little Lobster Lake, you know, so.
Medium lobster.
If you're wanting to explore in the middle of the lakes, just make sure you clean.
And don't judge the little lobsters, you know?
Sometimes all you need is a pinky, folks. So the next thing is that somewhere between the sexual innuendos and the story, you guys will understand where it all comes together. But that's for you to figure out. That's for you to decide.
That's for you. So, let's leave some room for interpretation on the morning.
We put E on our episode so we can say whatever we want, you know, so it's good. Yeah. The next theory is that it could just be a normal moose infested with winter ticks.
Just a little guy.
So this condition causes the moose to rub off most of their hair. Their bodies become skinny and it lightens the animal's coat. It's sad. You know, it's a disease that affects the animals. Biggest problem is this doesn't describe how the Spectre Moose is always great and grand and muscular and hovers over the other ones. This is more like a sickly moose, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm actually a really strong believer on Old Moxie, to be honest. I think it's a forest spirit. I think you just sometimes we just got nonchalant forest spirits, and I'm here for it, you know. We don't have pictures of it, you know, but hey.
Okay.
I have a third theory.
Okay. Since we don't have a modern take. Hunters, and I know a lot of hunters are notorious at over exaggerating everything. Whether it be I saw a trout that was this big, Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a really good chance that someone just over exaggerated the moose, and now every hunter is like, oh man, I saw it, I just couldn't quite get that shot, you know, like, oh, I definitely don't have bad aim. No, the bullet just bounced off of it.
Right. Yeah, that like that first story when he was like, it was charging at me and I shot it in the shoulder and then it charged at me again.
You missed. High and wide, high and wide.
And they're always by themselves. They're like, I shot it like 7 times by myself, yeah. Frank. You know, it's like, did you really?
Are you sure? Really?
Doubtful Specter Moose is like, did you really shoot me? Do you think you shot me? It's not undead. People just have really bad aim.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's right up there with Spirit Moose for me. So
yeah.
I'll take both of those. Oh man. Okay. Well, like Ryan said, no modern take, so let's
Turns out there's not a lot of stuff about the Spectre Moose.
No, I like a part of me almost did a section on the connection of moose with maple syrup, but I was like, nah.
Mooses do love maple syrup.
Yeah, because that's
okay, let's just
Alorna. No, let's do our lore report. Any
announcements?
We do.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, Ryan doesn't have it opened. It's okay. I'll start while Ryan's
definitely have it open and not looking for it right now.
You gotta do that wolf sound for me while you're not looking for it. if y'all missed the first 30 minutes of the episode, Christmas time is here. And I forgot you had that sound. There it is. The spirit. The Christmas spirit. And I know Halloween has just ended, but your girl is excited for the holiday season.
Keep going.
What better way to celebrate than with some new merch? I am so thrilled to announce we have released 3 holiday collections of knit sweater prints to the shop. We got 3. Count them, 3 holiday figures. We got classic Krampus, we got some good old Saint Nick, and we got a Yule Cat design. So whatever your style is, whether you want some classic Santa, you want some creepy Krampus, or you want a cute little kitty on a shirt, sweater, I think we got blankets and mugs and stuff, head over to our shop, alloringshop.com, and get yours just in time for the winter season, for all those holiday parties, and just for being cozy at home.
Yeah. And just a friendly reminder to get your holiday shopping done sooner than later. And look, do you really want to be the person to give Jeff Bezos his trillionth dollar?
No.
I know I don't. So what says I love you more than sticking it to big corporations and purchasing from a small indie podcast, perhaps, with our one-of-a-kind merch that Kimmy herself has made? Again, stick it to Amazon by going to alloringshop.com and getting your holiday orders in today.
And see,
the sooner you order, the sooner it'll be here.
And Ryan and I are so much on the same page. He didn't pre-read it, and we both thought about sticking it to Amazon. So really, put your pinky there and buy from an indie podcast art thing today. All right. Time for Aloran alignment chart. Aloran. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a moose. is a moose inherently anything? I don't think so.
It's a moose. I was like,
it's just their vibing. So I just put it true neutral because it's a moose.
It's on neutral for me, but I knocked it a little bit more towards good, only because I feel like it protects other moose. You know,
I mean, the biker didn't do anything. They were just out there biking.
There could have been moose like a block away, you know.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't feel like they're bad. I feel like Ryan's straight up neutral, but I'm giving the spirit a little bit of good, you know, it just is a little whimsical, a little magical, and yeah. I'm here for it. All right, now let's do our takeaways. We'll have you go first because it's been a minute.
if you get too close to the brown eye of the moose, you might get pink eye.
It's Ryan Huskins, I'm so mad. I was gonna be like, some people like Big Lobster Lake, and some people like Little Lobster Lake.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. That's okay. Man, all right. We're done. We're done. We're out. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been alluring.
You just have the most amazing, alluring, fantastic day ever. You know, maybe go get some lobster to celebrate. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye.
And that's all for this episode of Alluring. Thank you for taking a seat around the campfire and listening. If you want more Alluring, go check out our website, alluring.com. That's alloreing.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Discord. If you have any questions, folklore, cryptid sightings, or urban legend you would like us to discuss, email us at alluring@gmail.com. If you like this show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcast. It's the best way to help support us and spread the word. Special thanks to Lane Hammonds for our music. If you'd like to show your support and have access to bonus content not posted anywhere else, visit our Patreon page today at patreon.com/alluring and help us keep the firewood burning. Bye-bye now.